You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
Our march around the world continues this evening, and what a march it has already been in this just our first week of the month. We'll continue with shows like this throughout the entirety of March, but already we've been to Germany, to Scotland. Now we go down under to Australia, and representing Australia during our world tour this year is once again Professor Drew Fraser, a former professor of law at Macquarie University in Sydney and the author of several books, including The Wasp Question, which we will revisit later this hour. Drew, how are you on Sunday afternoon as we broadcast live here this Saturday evening? How are you in the land down under?
I'm very good. In the rain, we're having lots of rain and it's flooding. So,
you know, in Australia, it's not only is it not the same day, he's a day ahead of us as we broadcast live tonight. It's not even the same season. They have totally different seasons down there, if you didn't know. But hey, Drew, let's just Keith Alexander's with me tonight, of course. But let's spend a couple of minutes, if you don't mind. Tell us about what the scene looks like in Australia. We've been asking each of our guests.
Someone was telling me the other day that the only safe place to live in the world now is Australia or Antarctica. Now, I told him that Australia has its own internal enemies like America. What do you say?
Well, safe, I don't know about that. It's been a bad 2 years. I remember when 2 years ago when we were talking when this COVID thing just started. Now we're at the end of it. Then 2 years ago, I was thinking that one of the upsides might be to end immigration for at least a time. Now, that did seem to happen, but I think they're trying to fudge it and sneak people in on temporary visas and so on. So that's
no Ukrainians, I bet.
Well, yes, we're waiting for a flood of Ukrainians, yeah. So that's sort of mixed. I'm not sure whether it's good news or bad news on that front. The bad news is that actually depending upon which state you lived in over the last 2 years, Victoria was the worst, but any Labor state was really a brutal experience in the most literal sense. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the police attacks on protesters and so on in Victoria.
That's something. Yes, Australia was so much more heavy-handed than other parts of the white world with regards to its treatment of malcontents like me, who didn't go along with the masks and vax mandates, but.
They're even worse in Canada, weren't they?
Yeah, that's a good question.
In Victoria and Western Australia, yes. And, you know, I used to teach constitutional law, and one of the central planks in the Constitution is Section 92, which guarantees the absolute freedom of trade, commerce, and intercourse between the states. And the states just shut themselves off from each other with no constitutional basis at all. The high court went on holiday. And it's just shocking the way in which constitutional rights and liberties were just destroyed here as in Canada.
So. All right, let's, I mean, what you said a moment ago, I actually remember, my friend, because you have been an interesting guest for us in so much as this is our third year to do March Around the World, and you have appeared in the debut episode of each of the last three series. And I do remember quite vividly that one show you were on with us in March of 2020 where we were talking about the shortage of toilet paper, and that was one of the early onsets of the of the COVID thing.
I actually
remember that. You were on, of course, with us last year as well, and you've been on with us other times.
Toilet paper revolution, right?
But, so, I mean, we've come through that together, I guess. But I know that you live about an hour and a half, 2 hours west of Sydney. Tell us, what's the scene like there for our people? I mean, if our audience could parachute in to where you live and you're part of Australia. Now, Australia is very interesting. We've been talking to guests from Germany and Scotland tonight, but you know, the European nations are about the size of your average American state, if not smaller. Australia, that's another whole ball game. What's the scene like for our people in Australia, the COVID restrictions notwithstanding?
Well, New South Wales, where I live, is a Liberal Party state, so it's a bit more conservative than a place like Victoria or WA. So the COVID lockdown hasn't been as bad here until from October till just recently. It was vaccine passports, the whole thing. But apart from that, it wasn't too bad. But where I live, up in the mountains behind Sydney, this little town I live in has the highest proportion of people born in England anywhere in Australia. So it's completely lily white, essentially. Whereas Sydney is, I think of it as kind of a zoo. You know, it's ceased to be an Australian city. It's a premier a few years ago called it it celebrated its status as a global city, which just means increasingly unlivable.
An international fire zone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But still, I mean, I'm glad I left Canada. Let's put it all things considered. It's better than Canada.
Well, that's interesting. You know, and we've had, of course, Paul Fromm on the show for three out of the last 4 weeks, not counting tonight, talking about what's been going on there with the trucker revolution. And, of course, you've been in Australia for many, many years now, but you are a native-born Canadian. So when you look back on Canada and you've witnessed all of this, what's been your reaction to that as we approach? Actually, hold on to that question. Hold on to that. Okay. Hold on to that answer, I should say. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, more from Drew Fraser from Australia. He's representing Australia during our March Around the World. He's there now.
We're expecting a very good answer now that you have all this time.
We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
I'm back from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land of
back with Professor Drew Fraser now. And you know, Keith, Drew's education credentials are as long as your arm. I mean, he has degrees hither, thither, and yon, including a Master's of Law degree from Harvard University. Did you know that?
Now I do.
Well, you should have known that already. I mean, this guy. Listen, I'm telling you, we're bringing you the most thoughtful, the most credentialed, the most impactful people around the world.
But we can recommend him even though he does have that LLM from Harvard.
Well, but he's also got one from the University of North Carolina, from Queens University. I mean, you know, he's been around. But, well, Virginia Abernathy's a Harvard lady as well, and we love her.
Occasionally a good person will sneak out of there.
Jared Taylor from Yale and so on and so forth. But anyway, Drew, the question was, you're a native Canadian now, a longtime Australian resident, but... which is why you're representing Australia during this series. But you look back on what's taken place in Canada, that really righteous revolt, I think. What has been your take?
Well, I mean, it for me, it's just a kind. I've been there before. I left Canada during the reign of Pierre Elliott Trudeau, the guy who invoked the War
Curse.
Measures Act to, that's right, to crush the separatists. And I felt that I had escaped oppression. And so I was not at all surprised to see his alleged son, Justin Trudeau, invoke the new model.
Alleged, yes.
Is he really Fidel Castro's son? Is that let's attack that one directly.
Well, look at the photos. Yeah, I mean, there are
he looks
pictures
like a woolly
of him
mammoth
with a beard. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to this then, Drew, because we've been asking, and I think we probably will be asking if we haven't been nuked by the end of the month. Each of our guests this series, and hey, listen again tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Germany, Scotland, Australia. Where will we go next week? You've got to tune in to find out. But we're going to go all over the Western world and beyond during this, our march around the world. But if we could transition to the situation in Eastern Europe, your take on that, Drew? Everybody gets a stab at it. What's yours?
Well, I guess I have a view very much like John Mearsheimer's. I mean, it's why are we trying to enroll the Ukraine in NATO? I mean, it should be a kind
Russia.
Of a neutral. Yeah, that's right. You know, well, And they, Russia has been saying for, indeed, American scholars like George Kennan have been saying for, what, over 20 years now, that it would be a very bad mistake to try to suck some place like Ukraine into NATO. What's the point?
Well, NATO is a obsolete alliance, right? It's just it should have dissolved at the same time the Warsaw Pact dissolved.
Yeah, exactly. And the question is, why didn't it? You know, I mean that's why. I mean, I would kind of want to ask Mearsheimer, for example. I mean, he thinks it's irrational for the U.S. government to do something, promote the membership of Ukraine in NATO. But I rather suspect there's a kind of an agenda going on there that transcends the nation state. You know,
I think what they're trying to do is express it to all of the former Soviet socialist republics like Chechnya, Georgia, maybe Kazakhstan. Who knows?
Well, this is Drew, this is a question I asked of Jim in the last hour. Your reaction to the with it being a geopolitical and global issue as big as it is, that the entirety of the Western media is speaking with a single voice. There's not one network anchor, not one newspaper editorial to say, hey, you know, Putin and Russia has a point here. They're all speaking in a single voice. The Republican and Democratic Party in the United States, all one voice. Is that surprising? I guess it shouldn't be.
Russia today has been blocked out everywhere in Western Europe and in America and Canada and everywhere.
Is it surprising to you that it's come that way? I don't guess it should be, but
not really. No, I don't really think. I mean, there are a whole lot of agendas going on in the American government, and not that many of them seem to have to do with the national interests of the United States. So, I mean, there's just who is really behind this is a good question. But,
let me try
Israel
to take a shot at that one.
Yeah. Hey, if you bait the trap like that, you'll catch Keith every time.
Well, have you wondered why Russia is always hated by a certain group, except when they were the Soviet Union? Okay.
Yes.
And it's the same old tune, latest verse.
I hate to say this, but it does remind me of 1939 when that other evil man wanted to have a road through to Danzig, but the Poles were encouraged by the British to resist tooth and nail until...
Well, you know, they say that World War II was started by a... warmongering maniac maniac was Winston Churchill.
Yes. Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, what do you think, Drew? By all means, my friend, go ahead. Yeah, please.
No, I mean, I think that's a good analogy, and I would love to hear people discuss the analogy between this situation and that. I mean, it's very similar, actually, when you think about it. Danzig and East Prussia were separated from the rest
Polish
of Germany. That's right. And the Germans wanted to be able to link up. You've got
they just
Crimea
wanted to build the autobahn between East Prussia and the rest of Germany.
That's right. Yeah. And what was the big problem? There are agendas inside agendas, I guess. And what one would, who was pushing the British government to give Poland guarantees like that? I mean, it just makes little or no sense.
The same people that got America into World War I.
Yeah.
Well, this is a question we've asked each of our guests who have commented on this. The last week, I mean, tonight is Sasha Rossmuller of Germany, Jim Dowson there, and, well, native-born Scotsman, but in Ireland now. And last week, Mark Weber and Kevin MacDonald and Paul Fromm. So now you, Professor Fraser, is this going to escalate to World War III?
Oh, well, I noticed today that the German chancellor is essentially trying to back out of the position that he's got himself in by saying that there is no way that Ukraine is going to become a member of NATO. Why wasn't he saying that before? You know,
like a couple of weeks ago.
Well, exactly.
Germany had a heavy hand with the pipeline situation. The pipeline situation, Germany, you know, came down on that. Yeah, I mean, it's not taking the best interest of the European people at heart.
But then on the other hand, you know, what is so ironic about this is that the one thing that the United States could really do to harm Russia economically would be to provide natural gas and other petroleum products to Western Europe. But they're not going to do that. Their climate change fairy tale is more important to them than that even. We live in a crazy, crazy world.
Yes, and where the U.S. is actually buying Russian oil.
Paying them $25 million a day.
Well, that's another thing that transitioned after the Trump administration. Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah. Yes, well, we'll see where that goes. But we got to take a quick break first. Drew Fraser wrapping up our first week in our March Around the World series. Let's stay tuned, and we'll be back with him in Australia right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
People in Ukraine are crying out for help. So far, over a million people have fled the Russian invasion. Cities are now under siege, and some people are trapped because bridges and other exits have been blocked. Russian President Vladimir Putin says any attempt at a no-fly zone over Ukraine will be considered to be participation in the armed conflict. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with the Polish foreign minister at the border between Poland and Ukraine. He acknowledged the major role Poland is playing in taking in massive numbers of Ukrainian refugees.
As of today, more than 700,000 people have been forced to flee the violence perpetrated by Russia by crossing the border from Ukraine to Poland.
The meeting came as a brief ceasefire in two Ukrainian cities near the border broke down. The halt in violence was supposed to allow more people to leave. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know most vitamin supplements don't even come from food? Even the products with colorful fruits and vegetables adorning the labels are seldom derived from produce. Typically, supplements are synthetic, made in a laboratory. Modern science may synthetically imitate these chemicals, but your body isn't fooled. It knows the difference, and it craves quality materials to build, repair, and fight illness. You need to consume fruits and vegetables daily in a variety of colors, as well as whole grains and other fresh food. That's why I formulated Balance of Nature. I wanted to be able to give my patients a natural alternative to the cheap, unnatural chemistry by giving them real fruits and vegetables. In fact, the only ingredients inside of Balance of Nature are whole fruits and vegetables. Don't settle for imitation nutrition. Reach for the good stuff, the real stuff.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code USA.
A federal appeals court on Friday ruled that the Biden administration may expel migrants under a Trump-era policy to limit the spread of COVID-19, but block the U.S. government from sending them to locations where they face danger. The District of Columbia U.S. Circuit Court in part upheld the government's use of Title 42, a policy put into effect March 2020 to expel more than 1 million migrants without hearing their asylum cases since the start of the pandemic. The panel, however, determined that the families who challenged the use of Title 42 were likely to succeed on their claims that U.S. laws prevent the government from sending them back to countries where they could face harm. The Title 42 policy was enacted by former President Trump in March of 2020 with the stated purpose of preventing those who cross the border illegally from potentially spreading the coronavirus. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got the man down under. That's Professor Drew Fraser, former professor of law at Macquarie University in Sydney. Harvard educated Drew Fraser.
He became a success in spite of it all that.
No, come on. Come on now. No, this is a great intellect for our people and a fantastic representative of Australia to serve in this, our march around the world. Thank you so much, Drew, for being with us tonight as we continue our discussion. This came in from a listener in Brooklyn. This is Rick in Brooklyn, our good friend. And he said he was at a Bible class, but he heard the same old anti-Putin crap, as he calls it, on Sunday morning that they get from Fox. He says after church, he tried to straighten them out, but it didn't compute. Then in service, there was a very special, very emotional prayer for the poor Ukrainians. And Rick writes that he seriously considered making a scene, but didn't want to embarrass his neighbors. He says that he did speak to the pastor afterwards, but he could have been speaking in Swahili, trying to break down the reality of the conflict there between Russia and the Ukraine. And Drew, I think that is a fantastic question or comment rather for you to touch on, because you had made mention of the fact that you would like to talk about contemporary post Christian Western civilizations, its causes, and whether there is any cure.
Well, let me say this too. I think the people of Ukraine do need our prayers. They're caught in something that is, you know, they're caught in this geopolitical international chess game. But on the other hand, Putin is not the bad guy.
Right, Keith. I mean, you are right at your core, but I don't think that's what this church was getting at. I think they were getting at they're the good guys, Putin's the bad guy, and it's just that simple. And you know,
Putin is the new Hitler.
My opinion on this, Drew, and I've said this so many times, is that, you know, look, you wrote a book about it, and this is another book that's fantastic. We've given this away as a not giving it away. We've given it to generous donors as a well-deserved gift. The Dissident Dispatches, an alt-right guide to Christian theology. This is a book you wrote in 2017. But my position on the church is, look, I mean, the church is just as infected with the same disease that afflicts so many of us. Just so when you cross the threshold of a church house, you don't become immune to what you're bringing in from
liberalism
society.
Liberalism is a modern face of evil.
And the community it comes in with you. But yes, I mean, that the churches are no better off and have no better understanding or sense with regard to this conflict than the rest of the world. It's worthy of discussion. Your take on that, Professor Fraser?
Well, you know, this is why I was curious to hear your views on this, because personally, I think the problem with Christianity is that let's put it this way. I mean, you've got a choice between a global vision of Christianity, which has no place in it for nations, or you've got a global Jesus versus a national Jesus. And I'd have to say that my reading of the Bible, let's say, has convinced me that if you're trying to understand who Jesus the Christ was, you have to root him in the particular national circumstances of Old Covenant Israel. And if you don't do that, you're really living in a kind of a confected dream world where no nation can, except for perhaps the nations in the Orthodox tradition, who do see the church as being rooted in their national experience. And that's one of the reasons why the Ukraine is falling apart. Half of it is Orthodox Russia. Half of it is connected to a kind of a Western-oriented version of Catholicism. And the twain are just never going to meet.
Well, see, what we had back when I was a teenager, I remember Jesus being portrayed as the first hippie and the Jesus freaks and whatnot.
Yes.
Well, and Drew, and you made mention of the fact in previous interviews that the modern church, and I don't give the church too hard a time on this because I understand what is the church except for a collection of individuals from a local community, community that is going to be infected as well as our entire society with the same poisons. They bring it into the church with them. You can't expect if you cross the threshold of a church to become immune to all of this poison just because you've entered into a church building.
I
did expect more from the church, I'll admit, but realistically speaking, there's this to consider. But you've mentioned and you've wrote about this because after all of your success and all of your credentials in law, you went and got a degree in divinity. Am I not mistaken?
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Boy, did you sandpaper a wildcat's ass when you did that, right?
Well, but he went in and he got a degree.
I quickly got thrown out. You know, I only lasted about 6 months in my first year in that theology school before I got thrown out after a year they let me back in. Yeah.
But you did go ahead and get that the degree. But you lasted long enough to know this. The modern church, or at least the people coming out of seminaries, the people coming out of these divinity schools, it's basically the Communist Party at prayer. The Communist Party at prayer.
Yes.
They've exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
That's a good one, yes.
And you got to laugh out of that. We only hear it twice per show. You got one out of three. You finally made somebody laugh. And I always appreciate it, though, brother, but you don't get me wrong. Well, anyway, so that's what's going on with the church.
These
seminaries are terrible.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question? I'm just sort of curious. I mean, do you have any experience with preterism or covenant eschatology? Of the sort, do you know who Don K. Preston is?
No.
Okay.
But tell us, I probably know what you're talking about, but I don't link it with his name.
It gets to the idea of global Jesus versus national Jesus. I mean, the preterists are people who say that if you want to use the term, the second coming is something that happened in AD 70 with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That's what Jesus and his disciples were praying for, and that's what happened.
We're talking the fundamentalist churches here about post-millennialism and pre-millennialism now, is that what you're talking about?
No, both of those still presuppose a second coming sometime in our future, which will involve the destruction of our world. This preterist or covenant eschatology theology basically says, look, if you look at the Bible, what everybody around Jesus is thinking of and expecting to happen is the end of the old covenant world, which actually happened in AD 70 with the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. And then,
of course, Roman Emperor at that time, you know, the Roman emperor at that point basically come to them, he said, "You people are effing crazy," to the Jews. He said, "You're the most troublesome province in the entire Roman Empire. You're always rebelling about something and causing us to dispatch troops there. So I'm not going to be so cruel as to kill all of you, but I am going to revoke your right to have your own nation," and he dispersed them. That's the diaspora. And the diaspora was basically for the purpose of hopefully they would assimilate with others, but they made it a point that they would never assimilate. And that's why we're where we are now in the world.
Yeah. And the difference is, I mean, this preterist or covenant of eschatology reading of the Bible essentially is a kind of an invitation for us to think of ourselves as people in a different nation other than Israel, and not just a collection of isolated individuals.
Hold on right there, Drew Fraser. Professor Fraser, wrapping up our March Around the World's entry installment this first week of the month. There, live in Australia, he is, and we'll be back with him for one more segment. We're going to talk about another one of his books, The Wasp Question, next.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
So thankful to have Professor Fraser, Drew Fraser, back on with us tonight. In addition to the credentials we've made mention of this evening, he's also a contributor to the Occidental Quarterly. Our good friend Dr. Kevin McDonald was with us just last week to tackle the issue of Russia and Ukraine, along with Mark Weber and Paul Fromm. What a great show that was. But Drew Fraser, truly one of our bright lights for the people of the West, the men of the West, and the families of the West. And there is one more thing I want to talk to Drew about this evening, while thanking him again for appearing now in all three of our March Around the World series. This is our third installment of this and his third appearance on it, in addition to the other appearances he's made on this show over the years. But the Wasp question, Drew, this is your book. What a fantastic book it is, the Wasp question. And I'm reading now that the defining characteristic of WASP, this is something that you wrote in the book, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, of course, the defining characteristic of WASPs is that they are much less ethnocentric than other peoples. Indeed, for all practical purposes, Anglo-Saxon Protestants appear to be all but completely bereft of in-group solidarity. They are therefore open to exploitation by free riders from other more ethnocentric groups. Now, we know that to be a fact. I think the listeners of this program know it to be a fact. Other whites at large need to know that this is not only a fact, but indeed a very big problem. How would you rate this problem or the existence of this problem amongst Australians compared to the members of our white family throughout other
parts of
European nations? Yes.
I think it's becoming increasingly clear to WASPs or Anglo-Saxons here in Australia that the state is not our friend. That in fact, WASPs, Anglo-Saxon, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, are increasingly a stateless people. There is not a single state in the world, even among those that we created, that actually deliberately and obviously represents the interests of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people.
Virtue signaling, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, the best example, for example, in our part of the world would be New Zealand, which really bends over backwards to promote the Maori as the founding people of New Zealand. You know, and which is just absolutely ridiculous, since the word Maori is a made-up word that reflected the absence of any general name for all of the 140 different tribes that were there when the white British came. And indeed, even today in New Zealand, the white population, 90% of whom are Anglo-Celtic by descent, will not refer to their British ancestry in any of their government documents. They are known as European New Zealanders, which is just a way of distinguishing
hating yourself for
them.
Fun and profit, right?
Exactly. That's right. Except it's not very profitable, and it's becoming increasingly less fun.
Yeah. Touché.
That's a deadpan response from Professor Fraser. That's professor humor there. Right. Made me
professorial
laugh. Well, true. Listen, are there any indications of forward movement in Australia? I know we had talked a couple of years ago about Fraser Anning, the politician who I guess is now long gone. But are there any indications that our people are beginning to wake up or see things clearly
from this bad dream,
or move forward in any tangible way in Australia or New Zealand? Any place where we can invest a little hope down there in that part of the white world?
I'd say there are, actually. I mean, and strangely enough, it's as a product, first and foremost, of this COVID scam. There are many people now totally fed up with it and who have been willing to come out into the streets. And they clearly, I mean, and in a number of very gruesome incidents, when they came out in the streets, they got the crap beat out of them by the local cops. So there are a lot of people who are beginning to realize that the state, either the state governments like Victoria, New South Wales, or whatever, or the federal governments of the Commonwealth of Australia, they are not our friends. They are serving interests that are far transcend the interests of ordinary Anglo-Saxon or Anglo-Celtic Australians. So, that, of course, on the other hand, there's a real divide between those who you might say are kind of waking up and the other sheeple who are still walking around with their masks on. Even though here in New South Wales, it's no longer required, but they are not prepared to give them up because it's a sign of their compliance with the powers that be. And most of those people would be Anglo-Saxons, right? So it's there is
car-carrying liberals.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
There's been no doubt that the divide here in the United States, of course, between those who have been fanatically pro-mask and vax versus those who say, hey, you know, come on, you got a 99% chance of surviving this thing if you get it.
It's a blue state, red state.
It's been a conservative, liberal, left, right, red state, blue state, however you want to define it. But I am glad that it took us to the third hour and we had to go all the way to the land down under. Drew... Yeah. It shares our glass as half full optimism. Now, listen, I can't hold Sasha Rossmuller and Jim Dowson in any higher regard than I do. Sasha, when I asked the question, hey, are there any good things going on in Germany, he kind of explained it away as, you know, no, not really. And when I asked Jim the same question of Scotland and the UK, he just said flatly no. But in the Balkans, he had some hope, so that's a good thing. Serbia, okay, we got to get Tom Sunic on the show next week from Croatia.
Look, Eastern Europe is backward in the same way the American South is, and believe me, that's the way to be.
That's right. Well, it's good to know that there are some rays of hope there. In Australia, of course, with Drew Fraser there, you know, not all is could possibly be lost. But where else should we go tonight, Jim? With the time we have, Jim was our second hour, but Drew, where should we go with the last few minutes that we have with you tonight over there in Australia? Any other news, any other current events, any other situations you want to share with our audience?
Well, I mean, again, I mean, just generally, I mean, it's as much of a question as a statement. I'm very definitely getting the feeling that Anglo-Saxons or WASPs are a stateless people everywhere. We no longer have states that consciously or unconsciously represent us as a people. And I think that problem is actually even more pronounced in the United States. I would say, I mean, just like for example, there down here in Australia, there actually are people, especially in Melbourne, who are trying to develop a greater awareness of our British ancestry and British identity. But it's hard to see any signs of that in the United States.
There's no WASP elite in America anymore. You know, there maybe was in the 20s or 30s, but no longer.
Yeah.
They've been totally dispossessed.
Well, yeah. Sure, but I mean, but what could you say? I mean, even before there was a Jewish elite in the United States, there was a Jewish people, you know, people who strongly identified as Jews. Now, and indeed for a long while, it being a WASP is sort of a badge of shame. Right? I mean, people will be proud to be Irish or proud to be German or proud to be Italian Americans, but nobody, even Southerners who are overwhelmingly of white Anglo-Protestant or Anglo-Celtic ancestry, don't identify themselves as such. You're just plain vanilla Americans.
It was the Boston right? Brahmins that were the WASP, you know, the Boston, yeah. Boston, the land of beans and cod, where the cabbage speak only to the lodges and the lodges speak only to God.
Well, I said every time we have Drew on, we have a few laughs, but we get a lot of great information as well. And this installment has been no different. Drew, listen, we really appreciate you, brother. I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight and participating in this series again. We look forward to the next time already. Always entirely our honor to have you on. Really appreciate all your work. You're a great inspiration.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, again, it's been our honor. And that is Professor Drew Fraser from Australia. You've heard from representatives of Scotland, Ireland, and Germany tonight. And where will we end up next week as our march around the world continues? If you received a letter in the mail from me this week, my wife packaged that. So please open it and read it. Put her good work to use. At least open it and read it. Maybe you'll send something back and help support our work so we can continue to have great guests like Drew Fraser on these airwaves. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. For our production crew who went all around the world tonight to get these great guests, we'll talk to you next week. Good night.